Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. So glad that we could be with you this morning. I hope you had a great Resurrection Day last week, Easter Sunday. I'll tell you what, here at the Church of Las Vegas, our young people and our teenagers and our adult singing group just did an amazing job in song with musical instruments, with quoting scripture, with sharing what Easter really means from their heart. I mean, it was just flat out amazing. And those of you that were here last week can testify to that. But it's so great to see the church coming together and praising the Lord God together in that way. You know, that's not something we just do on Easter Sunday, but every first day of the week when we come together to meet, we love to sing praises to our Lord God. We love to come around the Lord's table to remember His body and blood, the price that was paid for our sin, so that we might always recognize that we were bought at a price and that we would honor God with the way that we live in our bodies. Friends, I just hope and pray that as you think about your relationship with God, that you would realize how worthy Jesus is to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how He is worthy to be our Savior. Now, some of you may be listening and say, well, what do I need to be saved from? Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so because of that, we stand condemned and we need someone to rescue us. And that one to rescue us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not familiar with these things, if you think it's just a fairy tale or something you've heard in passing, being mocked and derided, I pray that you won't just accept those things, but that you will search after the Lord God, that you will seek Him out, that you will try to find the answers that He has given to all mankind in order to live an abundant, full, wonderful life, a life that you can pass down from generation after generation after generation to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, as long as they continue to follow in the footsteps of Jesus by faith. Wow, what an amazing legacy to leave. Not one of money or possessions, but a life that's lived for Christ. And with the power of God's Spirit in our life, we can do that. I want you to know that Jesus makes it possible. Jesus is worthy of all of our praise, all of our worship, all of our thanks, all of our praise. And we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is by Andrew Peterson. It's a song called, Is He Worthy? And the answer is, He is. And so think about your relationship with God. I hope you have great, positive, wonderful thoughts about being in a right relationship with your Creator, with your Savior, with the one who makes it possible for us to have everlasting life. Let's listen to He is Worthy.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light? hide from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God, who reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
All right, we're back this morning. If you've just joined us, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to have you come this Sunday morning at 10:30 and join us as we open up the Word of God, as we just recognize how great and awesome He really is. You know, that last song that we listened to, Is He Worthy? The answer is yes, He is. And in Acts chapter 26, when Paul was recounting his relationship with Christ himself to King Agrippa, one of the things that happened to Paul was that he was confronted by Jesus himself as he was traveling to Damascus to round up Christians, to persecute them, to put them to death. And he reported that this blazing light came around them, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Man, I'll just tell you, Saul was probably just bewildered and awestruck from this light and this voice that he heard, and probably fearful of it too, wouldn't you think? And so when the voice told him that he was Jesus, the very one whose followers that Saul was going to persecute, which just shows you when you persecute the followers of Christ, you're actually persecuting him. But isn't it amazing how our awesome God took one of the greatest enemies of the cross and through confronting him, through challenging him, through giving him a different direction in life, that Paul became one of the greatest outspoken advocates of people following Jesus Christ. Because Jesus didn't just give him a mundane task, but he gave him a calling that had everlasting consequences and appeal. "I have appeared to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me." You see, that's what Jesus asked Paul to do. In the same way, this is what he asked God's people to do now. He asked God's people to be witnesses of him. What we know about him, what we will continue to know about him, that we'll tell people about what God has done for us through Jesus, that we'll be able to proclaim Jesus as worthy, as of a Savior that saved us. He goes on to say, "I will rescue from your own people." Of course, that would have been the Jews. "And from the Gentiles, I am sending you to them." Now listen to these two things: to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So church, as you're listening, here's what we need to understand. We need to go to people to open their eyes. Okay. Now we can't do that all by ourselves. We need to do that with God's help. We need to do that with God's word. We need to share the gospel truth that Jesus loved us. He laid down his life for us. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day so that we could be forgiven. We need to open people's eyes to the fact that God is a very good Heavenly Father. That he doesn't want to be against us. He wants to be for us. But he wants us to make that choice of our own free will. He doesn't want to coerce us or twist our arm. He wants us to recognize how good he is and how not so good we are, and to come to him in humility, recognizing that we've been in the dark. And so Jesus was going to send Paul to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. How much better is the light? I mean, you know, darkness has a place as far as at night so we can sleep and all the cycle of nature is concerned. But this isn't talking about that. This is talking about spiritual darkness. This is talking about ignorance. This is talking about people not knowing their way, stumbling around in the darkness, as it were. And we're to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. You see, Satan's the one that's all about spiritual darkness and death and sin and pride and arrogance. And Satan wants nothing more than to kill and to steal and to destroy.
He's not interested in you except for how he can use you, about how he can claim you if you're following him and in the dark instead of looking to Christ and being in the light. You see, Jesus loves you. Jesus laid down his life for you. Jesus wants you and I to have a full, abundant life, a life of peace, a life without guilt, a life where we can do good and not get proud and puffed up about it, but we can do it in his name, for his glory and for his honor. And so his call to Paul was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And this is what the church is still to be doing. And friends, if you're not part of the church, if you're not part of the kingdom of God, I want you to know that it's an amazing thing to be a part of. Okay, it's not a place. Okay, the church is not a building on the corner or something that has stained glass windows or anything like that. The church is a called out people. And I know there's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians that are hypocrites, and they don't do what they should, and it seems like some of them, all they want is money, and on and on and on and on. Satan would like to just dupe people into thinking that that's the way all Christians are. Well, it's not the truth. And there are some that genuinely, sincerely love the Lord God. They recognize their sin and their shortcomings and their faults and their flaws, and they acknowledge those things, but they also acknowledge God in everything that they do. They don't condone their sin. They don't justify their habits. They don't say things like, Christians aren't perfect, we're just forgiven. No, we don't live like that. We realize that we don't live up to what he expects all the time, and we don't think that's very good. We want to do better. We want to say, hey, I want to overcome sin in my life. I want to overcome temptation and weakness in my life. And by the grace of God, I do, and I will continue to, and so can you. That's what Paul was given to turn them aside from that. And then it goes on to say, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You see, you're either forgiven of your sins or you stand in condemnation because of your sins. It's the only two places you can be. And how much better it is to know that your sins have been forgiven, that God's not going to count your sins against you anymore because you have been sanctified. You've been brought out of darkness into light, that God has made you holy. How? By his grace, through your faith in the power of God. Through the power of God that raised Christ up from the dead, he raises us up to walk in newness of life when we respond to the gospel in faith and repentance and baptism. I'll tell you, there is no better way to walk. There's no better way to live than to live with and for Jesus. And so we need to share that at the top of our lungs. And that's the next song that we want to listen to this morning by Philip Craigs and Dean. At the top of my lungs, I'm going to tell the whole universe how amazing and how awesome God is. Let's listen.
Like a river within me, the thoughts to express are so many. I wanna bless you, God. Can't be silent. I think of the mercies you show me. My lips begin overflowing. Great is your love. Such gratitude for all that you do, Jesus, to you. You're the one who saved me, the one who gave me
creation. It rings out across every nation. Let my heart be heard. I need you so. I don't care who knows from the depths of my soul. At the top of my lungs, I will sing hallelujah. You're the one who saved me, the one who gave me this life I live. Forevermore, forevermore. At the top of my lungs, I will sing.
We're back this morning. What a great song that is by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, At the Top of My Lungs. And I hope that's the way you feel about God, and that's the way you feel about your salvation in Jesus Christ, that you just can't wait to tell somebody, and that when you have the opportunity, that you do. Hey, you know, one of the things that we like to talk about a lot is that our lives need to be lived for the glory of God. The Bible tells us that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, you do it all to the glory of God in 1 Corinthians 15. And so when we think about living for Christ, here's one of the things that's most important. It can't just be from the outside that we live it. It can't just be something that we kind of put on and act like for a little bit. This following Christ has to be a very part of the way we live all the time. And see, this is why Christians sometimes get a bad reputation, because sometimes they follow Christ, but then other times they don't. And they act like, well, if I go to a public meeting of the church once in a while, and I kind of do a good thing every once in a while, or, you know, I acknowledge God when I send somebody a card and say, God bless you, that somehow that's enough. Friends, that's okay, but we need to have more than just an outward, superficial life with Christ. It needs to be from the inside out rather than from the outside, and it just barely affects us inwardly. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 23, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 25. This is Jesus scolding the religious leaders. Okay, these are men that should have known better, that should have been setting a better example, and yet they weren't. In fact, here they are trying to kill Jesus, trying to figure out some way to get rid of him because of their jealousy and their envy because the crowds were following him. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence.
blind Pharisee first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Okay, so here's the thing. We can make our outward appearance look good, but only God and ourselves really know what's going on the inside. Okay, now here's the question I want to ask you. Does your outside match your inside? Because if you're just putting on a show, if you're just putting on a sham, if you're just putting on a veneer of righteousness for people to think well of you, but really in your heart of hearts you curse the Lord and you don't really care about him and you're neglectful of a relationship with him, you know, you can fool people, but you can't fool the Lord. And so I would encourage you to listen to what Jesus has to say here. If any of us are in that circumstance, what we need to do is we need to repent. And we need to ask the Lord to help clean us up from the inside. In other words, we need to have a broken and contrite heart. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, my heart is full of wickedness and greed and self-indulgence or whatever else it might be. And we need to say, Lord, I need you to create in me a new heart. I need you to help me clean up the inside so that the outside will match. Okay, big difference than just a sham. Okay, look at, he goes on to say in verse 27, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You look like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Okay, in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteousness, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. See, God's not just interested in play acting. God wants our hearts. God wants us to be real. God wants us to acknowledge him in all things, friends. And so if you are seeking and looking for answers, I pray that you will come and join us at the church at Las Vegas. Again, we meet on Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We're located where we meet together at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to search out the answers of life together from the Word of God. You can also find us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And we'd encourage you to learn more about us there as well. Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. It's always a privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you and try to encourage you and strengthen you in your faith. I just pray that you'll keep right on searching and right on seeking and right on living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you this week.